Okay, so welcome everybody to tonight's Q&A call. Again, I'm Nancy Roberts, and I'm usually here with Chris Kenny, but Chris is off working at a conference for us tonight, so he thought I might be capable of answering your questions on my own. If you have any questions that you do want Chris's input on, he'd be happy to answer that for you. So I'm going to give you his email address, and if you want to send it to him, that would be great. His email address is chris@myincome180, so it's myincome180.com, and you can go ahead and send an email to him there. But I'd love it if somebody would jump on the phone and start us off tonight with a question. So if you want to ask a question, all you have to do is hit *6, and that will unmute your line. So anybody who's ready to jump in, go ahead.
Hi, this is Pam.
Hi, Pam. How you doing?
Hi, good. I have a question concerning last Tuesday's class.
Okay.
In regards to, I'd like to know what you would do, taking into consideration if your customers are on the beauty email sent out by the company, how many other times would you intersperse something from yourself to your customers, so, but not so much as to overload them or have them ignore your emails?
How much, do you know how many emails they get from the company?
I don't. I'm hoping somebody else on the line could fill us in on that at some point. I don't know if it's once a week or once a month, or I think it's more than once a month, but
yeah,
I'm not exactly sure.
I would find that answer out, and if anybody knows, they can jump on and answer it. But I think what I would do more than what those, and I get those emails too. I'm trying to think how often I see them. I would make your marketing a little bit more personal. Because I know even though I said on Tuesday night's call, you know, it shouldn't be about you, what's in it for them, what's of an advantage to them, when we send out our newsletters, the content is, of course, always for our clients, right, and how to improve their life, how to improve their business. But I always share a little bit about what's going on with Chris and I, and I find that the more I share about us, the more people tend to respond. Now, they're getting good information, but they're also kind of getting a little peek into our lives. So I think if you're going to send that, if they're already on the company's email list, make sure the things that you send them are more personal. Maybe things going on in your area, a vacation you just attended, a life lesson you just learned, you know, it could be something of value for them, how you used a product, how a product changed a woman's life. You know, try and get it more personal, because I think what happens is people, you know, we know the people tend to do business with people they know, like, and trust. So by sharing a little bit of yourself, people get to know you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I look at someone like Gloria Mayfield Banks, and I think, you know, she's not just a national sales director. I mean, she has a following. We're at a women's conference in Texas, and as soon as we mentioned that we do work with Mary Kay, this woman who's not even in Mary Kay said, oh, who's that really dynamic African-American woman that's like at the top of their, you know, she knew who Gloria was. She's not even in Mary Kay.
Oh, wow.
So Gloria has created a reputation for herself and like almost like celebrity status for herself by being a personality, by, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't let the company just be the company face. She put her own face on her business. That's what I would encourage you to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense? You're welcome. And
Thank
so as far as timing, let's say the company email goes out once a week. I might intersperse that with one email of my own once a week.
Okay.
But, you know, make yours different. Make it, you know, interesting, useful, and a little personal.
Okay.
But thanks for asking the question.
that was helpful. Thank you.
Okay, great. So if anybody has a question, you can just hit star 6. I think what I'm going to do
is... Hello, this is Jennifer.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Did I just talk on top of somebody else?
No. I was going to address something if someone didn't jump on, but I'll mention it after your question.
Oh, okay. Well, knowing that this is our last Q&A, I've been going back through things from early in the program, and one of my questions is about, it's back on our call that we did in, on the 22nd of March, and the topic was help your customers find their pain mm-hmm. and then show them a way that Mary Kay can solve it.
Yes.
But I didn't capture really any examples of that.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So basically what we've done is taken when we taught that training now, we take the Mrs. Tab model for all the benefits of Mary Kay. So all the things that someone could get from a Mary Kay business, and then we flip that and try and find what would be the pain in somebody's life that that part of the business could solve for them, okay? So we know that first and foremost, women come into Mary Kay with a financial interest, right? That's a reason to do the business. That's probably the number one. So really what you want to do is have a conversation, a recruiting conversation that finds out the financial pain in their life. Because quite frankly, and we go through this in depth in that call, pain is a lot more motivating than pleasure. So if you
right.
can find the financial pain in somebody's life, then they've now got motivation to do something different. So rather than just paint the dream of what Mary Kay can do for someone and what would an extra $600, you know, a month do for you, there's likely something going on in their life that they want to fix or solve with money. So it's really asking questions like, you know, how would you rate your financial, financial life or whatever right now on a scale of 1 to 10? And if they say 8 or 9, fantastic, just move on. It's obviously not a source of pain for them. But if they say, oh, gosh, a 3, really, tell me why you rated a 3. Well, you know what, my husband and I are both, you know, buried in student loans, and we took a second mortgage out on our house, and now his hours at work have been reduced, and, you know, gives you all the reasons. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. So what's the situation going to be like for you in another 6 to 12 months? Oh, my gosh. Well, if something doesn't turn around, you know, it's likely that I'm going to have to take a second job. Like, you just keep asking them questions about the situation until she – and here's the thing. We don't ask questions like that just so we know where they're at. We ask questions so they know where they're at, because most people tend to live in a state of denial. Like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. We ask those questions, they get really aware that they have a serious situation and that they've got to do something different to change it. So then when you offer the opportunity and you go through the compensation plan, it's now for a purpose, right? It's actually to solve a problem for them. And so the more you've gotten someone aware of whatever their problem is, so let's say it's not money. Let's say somebody's just, you know, they're in a dead-end job. So tell me about your work life right now. How's your career? How's your work life? Oh, you know, not great. Well, why? What's going on? Well, you know, my boss doesn't give me any recognition, and I feel like I work all day, you know, with nobody saying good job. All I ever hear about are the problems. Oh, what's that? Well, what's that like for you? You know, and then they tell you how it feels. What's the impact on your self-esteem? What's going to happen if you don't find a solution to that in another year? So you just keep asking questions until they understand the full impact. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Because here's
so is there a formula for – oh, go,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Is there a formula for writing the questions, or you just kind of get a feel for it with practice?
You know what? We sent out – and we can send it again – we sent out a form, like a sheet that had questions for each of the Mrs. Tab benefits.
Yeah.
So it was for money, for recognition, for cars, for, you know, all the different things that people get from Mary Kay. We sent out questions you could ask. So what we'll do is send that again.
Remember it? Oh, yeah. My accountability buddy is nodding at me saying, you got that, you got that. So I just need to find it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Great question, by the way. Great reminder for all of us, too. Okay, so does anyone else have a question? Just go ahead and hit star 6. Oh, and by the way, I didn't know, Jennifer, if you said that this was the last Q&A, but actually there's one more Q&A.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Hi, Nancy. This
Hi,
is Carol. I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
On Tuesday night's call, you mentioned that, you know, there was an email service provider that us Mary Kay people could use. Which one is that?
Yeah. Well, let me give you a couple. One that I have experience with, and then another one that I've actually seen at seminar and leadership conference. So, and you can tell me if you know of it, and it's not, it doesn't do what I thought it did. But I think it's UnitNet.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, UnitNet, and I think there's Director Double.
Okay.
I think it's called Director Double, and then. So those are two that I know are really integrated with Mary Kay. Like, they'll actually do the promotions for you. But yeah, like, they're – I don't know if all they work with is Mary Kay, but they're always vendors at seminar and then at leadership. And so I know they – I mean, they know the Mary Kay business inside and out. They actually will supply content for you for your newsletter. Pretty amazing. And then we use Constant Contact. At least we used it in the beginning of our business. We recommend a lot of clients start there. Constant Contact is a really easy email system. I think it's only like $30 a month, and there might be even a free option of it. And so people always ask, well, how do you send out emails that put the person's first name in the subject line and then in the beginning of the email? All those programs will do that for you.
Oh.
Yeah. You'll actually like upload the list of your contacts or your customers into the program, and then you build like a form letter or email. And then when the email gets sent out, it pulls from your list and puts the person's name in each email.
Yeah. It merges it then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. That's good news because UnitNet is. I do go on UnitNet quite a bit, and I think it is available for consultants and directors, if I'm not mistaken. So that'd be good. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep. No problem. Okay. Next question. Anybody want to test a subject line with me? Want to ask me about a subject line you're going to send out? Anybody struggling to write a subject line for an email they're going to send out? Come on, ladies, you're not going to send me back to Chris 15 minutes and tell him that was all the questions you had. He's going to tell me it's because he wasn't on the line.
This is Pam again. I have another question.
Yay. Thanks for saving me, Pam.
It has nothing to do with what we just previously been talking about. I think on another call I mentioned that I had all these names from a face box that I put in my gym. And I'm starting with them, and I'm finding myself going into the same habit. I do some calls, and then I kind of back off, and I'm wondering if you could give me a couple of ideas to help me push through that. I don't have a power person to help me with that, so... I talked to Chris at another time, and I told him I thought it was because I had a low deserve level, and he thought it was because I didn't think I was good enough, which I think is the true reason. And so I've been using the thing that you suggested the last time. I'm good enough to make one call, but now I'm getting to the point where I need something else.
Okay.
You got any more suggestions?
Yeah, well, let me just ask you a couple questions first. How many calls do you typically make before you quit? Like, what's your cutoff point? Why is it you stop? Do you have a bad experience? Do you just get frustrated?
I don't know why. It's like I'm playing the same recording over again. It's sort of like Groundhog's Day. I'd say, and most of these people I'm calling are people that have filled out this form and that, yes, they want to get together for a facial or a class, so it's not like I'm getting negative answers. I just can't figure out what exactly is my problem. But I can see myself doing the same thing over again, and I refuse to do that because like I said previously, I really need the money, and I've got the stack of names here that want to get together with me, and so it represents a lot of money because I have like 100 names here.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to let it go by this time.
No, I get it, and you're smart to recognize the pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen the self-sabotage before. You know how it happens. But
it's
I want
like
to talk
procrastination.
About. Yeah, but
I'll do it tomorrow. You know,
exactly.
I'll do some more tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. So that's exactly what I want to know. At what point do you stop? What is it you tell yourself when you stop?
It's usually I'll do some more tomorrow.
Okay, and then tomorrow
I got some good ones today. I'll do some more tomorrow. Where I have perfectly enough time to keep on going. I just don't do it.
Okay.
I tell myself I'll do it some more tomorrow.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm sure all the things you and Chris discussed are probably playing a part, the low deserve level, the self-sabotage, the procrastination, and all those things are just ways of us keeping ourselves exactly where we are, right? So when we have success, we stop because we had success. When we have a good month, we stop and we tell ourselves, oh, I had a good month last month, right? And that's how we always keep ourselves at the same level. That's how we can go year after year and not see a measurable increase.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to do the things that are going to raise your deserve level or your self-esteem or not thinking you're good enough, which is the internal work, and it's the work on your subconscious. Okay, so somehow your subconscious got imprinted in childhood for you to believe that there's something wrong with you.
Right. We discussed that, too. So I got that figured out, too.
Okay, good. So
that's
a matter of everything from daily visualization, daily affirmations, counseling if necessary, hypnotherapy, guided imagery, anything you can do to start to slowly reprogram your subconscious to believe that the opposite is true, that you are worthy, that you have amazing potential, that you are lovable, that you are smart, whatever the counter of that belief is. But you need to do that work. In the meantime, I like to play little tricks because I think reprogramming my subconscious could take a year, right, or two or whatever it is.
Right.
So I'm going to do some little things in the meantime to get myself to do things that I normally don't want to do. So for me, accountability partners is huge. I just joined a running club because for weeks I was telling myself, months even, probably since the snow broke or the winter broke, so that's probably March or April, I've been telling myself I was going to start running again. And I just wasn't doing it week after week after week. I would tell myself I was going to do it, and I didn't. So finally, 3 weeks ago, I joined a running club for the first time in my life and paid money to meet a group up on Monday night and run with them. and all I ask from the woman who organizes it is if you don't see me, call me. That's all I'm asking from you is to just call me and say, okay, didn't see you tonight, where are you? And since I did that, I've made every weekly meeting, so 3 weeks in a row, and I've been running in between. Like, you know, I'm not starting to get up to speed, and I ran this morning on the treadmill. So that's all it takes me is somebody outside myself to be accountable to. It has worked for me every time I've trained for something, you know, physical, weight loss. I had to have a weight loss consultant and coach in order to stick to a diet. Phone calls in my business, I have my coach keep me responsible because I wouldn't do it. I mean, you know, here Chris and I are teaching it. I wouldn't make phone calls in my own business if I didn't have a coach holding me accountable. So sometimes, even though, you know, it might feel like, oh, my God, do I really need someone to babysit me to make me do this? The answer is yes, you really do. The other thing that works for me, and I don't know if this happens to you, is I get very I get to a point where I can't work anymore in the same environment that I've been working in. Now, I don't know if that's because of my high I behavioral style or, you know, ADD or whatever it is that goes on with me, but I'll be making calls or working on a project in one environment, and all of a sudden, Pam, it's like I just had it. I'm just done. And if I pack up my stuff and I go somewhere else, I can refocus and work again. So I don't know if that happens to you, but if it does, I would say get the phone, go in your car, drive to Starbucks or wherever you like to go for a coffee, and make phone calls from your car. And then when you're done, reward yourself. Go in, get your latte, your frappuccino, whatever it is. But I find if I move around during the day rather than try and stay in one place, I'm more likely to refocus and do some more. Does that happen to you?
Yes, but I just change locations in my house. Like I go from my office to the back porch to outside. I have like a table and chairs under a tree, stuff like that.
That's beautiful. But if that stopped working for you, I would move to an outside location. I would actually go somewhere else. And then the last trick that I use to try and like make myself be disciplined is I do use a reward system. I pick something I want, and then I literally say 10 more calls, and I can have X, whatever it is, whether that means laying down for a half-hour nap or going to read a book I like or something like that. I do that with sales calls because, quite frankly, I don't like to make them either. But I will say, okay, I'm looking at this list. I will mark a number and say, I'm going to call 10 more people or whatever the number is, and then when I get there, I'm going to reward myself. And you know what? It works when I'm running, too. I was running the other day, and I had committed to running 2 miles. It was my first time running 2 miles, so it was obviously hard. And I had this mantra in my head that said, I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm done. And I just kept saying it on the last lap around. I kept saying, because I wanted to quit. Believe me, I was exhausted. And I kept saying, I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm done. I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm done. And it just kept driving me. So all these little tricks add up to us staying on track and moving our business forward. And they sound so simple, but when you pull them all together, you know, accountability, change your location, reward yourself, use a mantra, all those different things. Sometimes you can push past that, you know, procrastination that comes up. Are any of those helpful?
Yes, and I love your mantra because I'm in a Biggest Loser group at my gym. So that will be a great one when I'm trying to go farther on something that I don't like to do.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, I'll give you another one, too, that's very motivating for me.
Okay.
When I'm running it, it starts to get hard. I also tell myself, pain is just weakness leaving the body. Pain is weakness leaving the body. And I say that over and over and over again.
Okay, that's a good one. Did you think all those up yourself, or did you get them from?
No, I heard them other places. I just borrowed them.
Good.
Yeah, And one last suggestion I'll mention, because one of our assistants in our business is a music therapist, and so
mm-hmm.
she uses music to manage people's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's huge for me, and it helped me this morning on the treadmill, was when I started to get really tired and didn't want to finish my 2 miles, I put on the Rocky theme.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That I'm gonna
yep.
fly now.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a motivating song to me, but really, for whatever it is for you, whatever song that is that just kind of like stirs your soul, put
mm-hmm.
that song on when you're about to quit.
Okay. Well, I just heard on the TV the other day that people who exercise to music routinely exercise longer and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe it.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, when I run with my niece, we run very similar pace usually. She'll tell me that she knows when the Rocky theme is playing on my MP3 player because
uh-huh.
I start faster.
Uh-huh.
She'll be like, "Rocky's on, isn't it? Because you just started going a lot faster." So that tells you the power of music. We can
uh-huh.
use it to help us in our business too. When you're feeling down, you know, it's almost impossible to put on an inspiring song really loud and not feel more energized. So just like music can depress us, when we put on depressing or sad music, music can also uplift us. So I would say before you make your calls or whenever you're about to quit, just find that song that just fires you up. Get up, dance around, get the energy going, the adrenaline going, sit down and make more calls.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
again.
Awesome question, though, Pam. It's a great question because everybody struggles with that. And Pam also brings up another good point. These questions don't have to be about email marketing or what we talked on the last couple calls. It can be about anything related to your business or your life. Just us girls tonight. We can talk about anything.
Nancy, this is Karina. I was just able to hop on. I was in an interview. Hi, guys. How are you and Chris?
Hi there. Chris actually isn't with us tonight. I explained at the
oh.
beginning of the call. He's working a conference right now. But,
gotcha.
It's me, and so far nobody's complained.
No, it's great to have you. Well, I just came from an interview, so I'm going to ask an interviewing question, but I know that you have some great feedback. So what I found to be very interesting is that I'm starting to learn to listen, which is a huge thing for me. And I love it. I love it because as I start to listen, I start seeing nonverbal cues better. And right before the interview, I had a lady who just came up and hugged me. I'm like, whoa, that is so strange. Like, I felt like we were, you know, not in the Mary Kay world. But it happened to be that she had used Mary Kay in the past. So I'm getting better at confident in booking. But in the interview, this woman was a clear. Actually, she was a high D and a high C.
Wow.
It's just interesting, but I know she was a high D because when I asked her to tell her about herself, she told me, like, up and down about all the things that she's doing in terms of, like, management positions, just all her, like, title type of thing. So her, I mean, she was direct. She had great eye contact, and it was all about her, like, 30 minutes of that interview time. And at the bottom, at the end of it all, I just kept asking, is there any reason why you wouldn't give this a try? We talked about how you use the products and blase, blase. And she said, I don't have $100. I went back to her and I said, okay, well, if you have more month than money and you don't have $100, then you really need Mary Kay. And she shared about her vision and her life goal is to be a business owner with safety. And I went back and I asked her, well, how are you going to get the money to fund that type of business? And she already loves the Mary Kay environment. She had just come from a girls' night out this Tuesday, and she said she was going to ask for a loan. And I said, that's great. Sounds great. What about plan B? What if you don't get the loan? Where else are you going to make the money? So I kept listening, giving feedback, listening, making it relevant. And at the end, she said, you know what? I don't even want to talk about it until October when I have all these things off of my plate. At that point, when you have someone who is a high dominant person who kind of knows what she wants But yet she doesn't even have the money for a starter kit. What do you do?
Well, okay, a couple things. And number one, great questions. From what it sounds like to me, you were asking really good questions. So that's great. So many people would just stop at the first objection that they get. The thing I think that you might have missed is that I don't know if you found her sense of urgency for doing it right now. So when anybody puts us off till the fall or puts us off till next year or whatever, call me in a month or whatever, we haven't gotten to their sense of urgency of why they need to do it right now. And that, of course, requires just more questions. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, she kept talking, so it was hard for me to even interject a question in here, but she kept talking about all the things she had to do. I mean, I was just getting exhausted listening to her daily routine. She drives like 7-8 hours. I mean, she has yada, yada, yada. I mean, it was just so extensive. I was so stressed.
When you hear something like that and you get that sense, now here is where, in my opinion, selling the opportunity is a lot like coaching. Because when you get an intuitive sense about something, like you're listening to someone and just their daily life sounds exhausting to you, that's the kind of thing I bring up. I say, wow.
Well, that's what I said. I'm so proud of me. I said, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Chris would have been proud.
Yeah.
I said, and she said, oh, well, I like to be closer to my family and this and that. And I said, okay, that's great. I can appreciate being closer to your family. What I'm asking is, how do you feel about your working your 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and you're not paid what you're worth? Do you know what she said? She said that she used to be okay with it, and then she goes, Bob, I'm not ready to walk away from it. Well, then I thought, well, what am I doing? You know what I mean? At that point,
well,
I started to rethink.
I think sometimes, too, I'm going to give you a little tip. I don't know if you remember this from the effective recruiting call. But the one thing you really want to listen to is somebody's inflection in their voice. And, of course, if you're in person with them, you can see it in their body language. When she said something about her family, like, you know, I don't like that I don't get to see my family more. If there's emotion behind it, like if you can sense emotion in, you know, her voice goes down or her shoulders slump a little bit or something like that, that's her area of pain. And so then that would be where you would ask the questions around. What's that like for them? You know, is that why I wish I thought I fit more? Well, what's it like for them? Well, and then she explains a little bit like that. Well, what's that going to be like if the situation doesn't change in 12 months? Oh, well then, you know, my daughter might actually be angry at me and blah, blah. So it's always like looking for that area where they have pain and then getting them to understand what the long-term impact of that would be.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't know if I really did find her pain point, except that she, it's interesting. Maybe she wasn't a high D. I don't know. Sometimes I really rethink myself all the time, because she talked about being loyal, which to me was a high S. I thought, oh, she talked about family. So I would have initially thought she was on the SD, so maybe she is, and I read her wrong. But then she kept talking and talking and talking and talking about all the things she had accomplished. It's interesting. I may not have really read her right then.
Well, that's okay, because here's the thing. Remember this. Behaviors like the DISD are observable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you, in somebody's body language, how fast they talk, all those types of things, how she gets up from the table, how she dresses, like it's observable.
Mm.
You watch her and watch her man, watch how she is with other people. Is she abrupt? Is she bold? Is she direct? And then you determine the behavior of style. What she talks about can be a reflection of her values.
Mm.
So you can be a high D and value loyalty and family as well as results and accomplishment. So I would observe for the behavioral style and then listen for somebody's values.
Okay. Because when I saw her, I would not have thought she was a dominant person. There was no sense of, you know, she came in jeans and a T-shirt, you know, like no makeup, no like real image, not like a D or an I where I felt like, but she was like here's how it is, this is what I'm going to do, and this is my plan. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Very direct about her value. It's interesting. Well, anyway, thank you for letting me ramble. I guess I just wanted to know if what I had said was correct and if I had, you know, at some point hit her hot button, but maybe I didn't. Because obviously she didn't have any sense of urgency.
It sounded like you were asking good questions. Just remember, we want to look, like you said, we want to look for that hot button. Where is the area or areas in their life that Mary would Mary Kay would make a huge difference for them? And then instead of just obviously jumping in with the solution of, oh, you should do Mary Kay, it's about getting them to realize that they have a challenge and they need a solution. And then, you know, through asking the question.
Thank you.
A good question. Thanks, Karina. Glad you could make it.
Yay.
Okay, does anybody else have a question? Just go ahead and hit star 6.
Can I ask another one if no one is going to ask?
You can. Go ahead.
Okay. This is more about organization. And I wanted just to ask, because there's so much to start with. Truly, truly, I look at my office space and I want to cry. And I think the reason is that I am an I personality. I like to be with people. I hate the paperwork stuff. I don't even want to think about it. But tracking is what I know to do. I know that I have to write my 6 most important lists. I know I have to do the weekly accomplishment sheet. And yet I can't find, I don't know if it's the motivation, but I think it's because my mind is cluttered and I don't even know where to start. So when you have someone like that as a client who says, I understand what I need to do, but I have so much of it to do, the piles, everything, like where do I start? What would you suggest I do to kind of prioritize? I need to get an office space in order. That's not going to ever keep me from selling.
Here's what I suggest, and here's what I've actually done. I get a friend or a family member or a team member or somebody who is an SD personality or who just happens to love to organize. So we happen to have an assistant. She only works with us part-time. She's not even an S or a C, but she's just something about her. She loves to organize. So I would have that person come in and organize with me or for me and get creative because you don't necessarily have to pay them. You could pay them in product or, you know, swap services or something like that, something that you can do for them. But I say if it's not your forte and it's like a root canal for you, get someone who loves to do it because it's amazing that there are people in the world that love to organize. Almost like a gift to them.
It is.
Hand it over and say, oh my gosh, can you please organize my office?
That's my neighbor. She could have started her own darn business. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You could tell her, if you want to organize my office, if you're considering starting that business, I will give you a glowing testimonial for what you do for me. And then, you know, some products on the side or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And to piggyback on that, I've always heard book, coach, sell, recruit. But then what else goes on the 6 most important things when it's related to your business? Because that's where I'm stuck to. I understand to book. I understand to sell. I understand to coach and recruit. And I know that there's not a lot of time then for dilly-dallying when you're focusing on those things. But I feel like I need to be self-rewarded by doing one day of this list, and I cannot even think of what else to put on those two things. So now that's a more personal question because nobody outside of Mary Kay or outside of my home is going to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to kind of help your head figure that stuff out?
So you're saying that each day on your 6 list, one of those so you pick one from each book, self, coach, recruit.
You're supposed to. That's Yeah, that's what I was coached by my adopted director, that's what I should focus on in those first six things. Book, sell, coach, recruit, one activity in those categories every day.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, then the other two activities, if you're truly doing one of those a day, I mean, quite frankly, at the end of the week, you'd probably be doing more than most people, so that's good. What are either activities that you're not getting to that you could put on there? And those would more likely be those things you just listed that you don't like organization or prioritization, something like that, one of those activities that you could do a day. I would also build in something for yourself. I mean, it could be on your top six list every day to take, a half an hour lunch and read an inspiring book or meditate. Or do a half-hour yoga or something like that for yourself. Because if you're truly doing all these activities for your business, you're taking care of business, and that's wonderful. But I would say more often than not, most women are not taking care of themselves.
That's true. It's so funny you send the book, because that's what I was thinking. Like, I just want to sit and read my book.
Yes, so I would actually build yourself into that top six list.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. And I use the top six list, too. My problem is I usually have so many more things to do than six. I have like a
six. That's exactly right. That's why I thought the more and more I looked at my list when they were like 10, 11, 12, it's just overwhelming. Right. It really
is. I have a spillover list. I do. I try to prioritize the top six, like Mary Kay said. And then I have a right-hand column on my page. And all the leftovers, all the call the dentist, you know, change that appointment, blah, 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 call this person, are all captured on that right-hand side because it's like a brain dump. My brain is holding so much stuff, I have to get it down on paper. But then I look at that and I say, but what are the top six that are going to move my business forward today?
I think that's really key and really helpful because for me, that's exactly how I feel. Like there's just so much in my brain that's overloading that I can't even start with the number one thing because I haven't been willing to put it to paper and see all the things that I have in my head. But I bet you it would release a lot of stress to know that those things you have to get done at some point. Do you do this all in one notebook, just one that you carry?
Yep. And I usually have a multi-tab notebook, like a five-subject notebook. And in that first tab is where I do my daily list. And I always I take a ruler and I draw a line down to flip the page, like two-thirds on the left and a third on the right. And that right-hand column is a skinny column, but it's my running task list. And that's where I do my brain dump. And I can fill it up really quickly. Because I think what else that has happened for you is it releases the stuff from your subconscious mind. If that's me, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and remember something you forgot to do. Or you'll be taking a shower and all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, I got to send such and such. I start capturing that wherever I am and I always move it to this long running list of things. And once you do that, it's sort of like your brain can relax because it knows it's captured now. But I always have that running to-do list, and it could go for three pages. It doesn't matter. I feel better because it's all captured on paper.
That's great. I'm going to do that. Did you speak to this at your other, one of the other calls? Because I usually miss the Tuesday ones. I go back and listen. But did you speak to what the other tabs were in that notebook or no?
I did. This is what I covered in the time management teleclass.
I'll go back to it. I'll go back to it. Okay. Sounds good.
Great. Thanks for asking. I feel like today is kind of like almost like a summary Q&A call. It's great. We're touching on a lot of topics.
Can I ask a question? This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. I sent you an email because I did my homework from Tuesday night's class.
Excellent.
I did my three-step email and got everybody to call in on our conference call line last night that we did. So you'll be reading my email, but this is a question, and I just had to hop on at like 8:24, so I'm not sure what was covered, but it's coming from a perspective of I was at a director meeting on Friday, and I sort of felt like I had a shift in how to grow and swell my unit to try and put more effort into growing it than into selling the product, servicing my customers, getting more customers, selling the product and production, more on the emphasis of building my unit and growing, because mm-hmm. that seems where the company is shifting a little bit with that.
Right.
So I've been trying to chew on that a little bit, and mm-hmm. I'm finding, like, today was another classic day of I was torn between where to put my time, because I love customer service. I love mm-hmm. servicing my customers. I love talking to them, visiting with them, knowing who they are. And I ended up today, I was supposed to go to one of my team members' house who just moved here. She's in the Army, and she just moved into her base house. And I know she's going to want to get, she wants to get her Mary Kay office in order so that she can, you know, get booking on her business. And I was supposed to go over there tonight and help her put shelves up and have dinner with her and stuff, since my husband's out of town anyway. But what happened, one of my customers needed some mascara, so she said, can you come over? And the only time I have available is this time, which happened to be the time I was going to go over to my consultant's house. And it ended up, I chose my customer. I went over there, and I ended up visiting with her, and she just so really needed a girlfriend to talk to. And I really felt like God put me there in her space to be there for her, but I'm still in the back of my mind thinking, did I do the right thing? Was that the right choice? Or should I have been going toward building my unit and working more with my consultants versus my customers?
Okay. So I haven't gotten your email yet. Did you send it to info?
Oh, somebody, your office person, sent
okay.
me an email back saying that you were out of town and I might not get a response from it until Monday.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So I was saying, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and that's not about what this was anyway. That was just my homework.
Oh, okay. That was about something else.
That was about the email. Yeah, you told us we had to do a 3-sequence email thing for homework. That's what I
got. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But
okay.
this situation, I'm trying to chew on this, and I don't know.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to kind of bypass some of the obvious questions, but I just want to ask you this. Do you have resistance to building a team?
No.
Okay, so when you say you love your customers, you love, you know, that side of the business,
mm-hmm.
do you love recruiting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you love building a team, and you love helping your team members grow their business?
I do, but I all of this is underlying what my mission is and my purpose for doing what I do. And my mission is that I need to show women how much God loves them, because I really believe that too many women don't know that. And the way we talked about my childhood, so you know. Remember about the filet mignon and the asparagus? Yeah.
Yep.
We
mm-hmm.
talked about that. And if my mom had known how much God loved her, it would have been so different. And so
right.
that is my mission. So I've believed that, you know, God puts me in the space of people, that I'm to be a blessing to them so that I can show them that how much he loves them. And so I've done that with my customers for 21 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And my unit, I have a unit. It's not a strong unit. And the other thing is, my unit is in 19 different states. They're not here.
Okay.
So it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. I have to consciously, and I'm working on doing Google Plus and trying to figure those things out to video conference them in now, and thinking that maybe this is the time to do that because of where I'm supposed to grow. But I'm supposed to be influencing women, whether they're customers or whether they're consultants. I almost don't, you know. So I'm trying to chew on the fact that, well, if I grow up my consultants, then my mission it'll grow bigger. The influence will be bigger, like a petal in a puddle or a
mm-hmm.
pebble in a puddle. You know what I mean? If mm-hmm. I grow my unit and and his influence on them versus influencing one customer one at a time. How much influence does that? So I'm trying to...
So tell me, was there... For some reason, I'm sensing that what you chose to do tonight was the thing that you preferred. So tonight, you chose to express your mission, let's say, through your customer, not your team member.
And I felt like it was more what he preferred, what he put me in her space instead.
Okay. So, but you know what? Let's just leave that out of it because
okay.
unless he actually called you and said, Carolyn, go be a customer.
So, okay. I made the choice. Right.
Yeah. And here's I'm going to be really honest with you.
You know what? I think because I needed the cash.
Okay. Now
I needed the order.
All right. So let's leave that out of this because God is not telling me that that's what he needed you to do tonight.
I needed the $30 that she was going to give me.
Okay. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to be completely honest and
okay.
authentic.
Okay. That makes sense. Well,
yourself.
See, I didn't even think about that until you pushed me, you know?
Perfect.
So that's good. That's good.
Because once you're in your own integrity and you can acknowledge that and make that decision
so
and
that,
say that's what I need to do.
Okay. So that makes sense to me now because then when I look at my customers, I look at that's immediate cash and that's what I want right now versus
yeah.
it's harder for me to be patient and know that if I grow my unit over time, that those paychecks will be bigger, but it's just going to take more time.
Perfect.
Maybe,
identified the challenge for you. The challenge is today, do I hunt or do I plant?
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
here's the thing. To be successful in the business, you have to do both. You have
mm-hmm.
to plant and you have to hunt.
Yeah.
So whichever person you put off today, whether it's your team member or your customer, you need to be in your integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to know what's driving you, what the motivation is. You need to know if you let your team member down. I think that's actually important to clean
mm-hmm.
any up situation, if you canceled on her,
mm-hmm.
If you inconvenienced her. I think you need to be in your integrity and fessed up
mm-hmm.
And then make it right with her as soon as possible, which means if that means putting something else on hold and going there tomorrow to help her
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that awareness, that aha that you just had is so key because
mm-hmm.
now you can start to solve that problem.
Yep.
And you can look at your week by week, and say, how much am I hunting, which is the
immediate,
and I know I'm using really male language, but the immediate kill or the immediate sale and money in
mm-hmm.
your pocket,
mm-hmm.
and how much am I planting seeds for the future?
Mm-hmm.
Because the most successful business is the business that does both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good work, though. It's great that you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That was a great question.
And I just have a question, I guess, or a comment for Carolyn. You're so hard on yourself. It sounds like you're a godly woman that's doing the right thing, and it's great to hear what you said, Nancy, about being a woman of integrity. But what I've learned from one of these directors is that she has some systems in place. I don't know how long you've been a director. But I guess my question is, if you have systems in place, sometimes you just need to connect. Sounds like what you needed to do with your consultant, too. But I found such value in seeing how this director has created such a sense of family that other consultants are helping. This woman is just military, so she just got into town. But sometimes, like, even I found helpful the photographs and visual. I mean, she visualized and put pictures on her website as a director of the starter kit bag filled, the little everything that she could think of that a new consultant would want to know. She put a picture there for it. She put a link there for it. And she had new consultant training once a month as a system for those who were local, and she absolutely plugs them in via whatever media it is. Maybe it's Google or whatever you called it, but she has a little headphone on, and she has a system where they call in remotely wherever they're from. I thought that was so powerful because not only is she communicating with her consultant locally, but she's doing it in mass. She's doing it on a systematic basis, so it's once a month, every Saturday at such and such time, And then when you've had those systems in place, your consultants know how to plug in immediately. It may not be the very next day they come to town, but sometimes they just, you know, they're so excited they just want to talk to you in just 20 minutes.
Sorry.
This is Roya Mattis. This is Roya Mattis.
Ah.
Yep. She was the queen of sharing last year, and she's been the queen of sharing twice. So she's been a recruiting guru, and I know Nancy has talked to her personally. So,
she lives like 40 minutes from me.
Yeah. Well, it might be good to touch base and connect with her because I've learned a lot from Roya.
Okay.
And I've learned that systems are great, and I think that you being there for your customer was exactly what you needed to do, and sometimes we just need to spend time with the people who are paying our bills. Both of them are, you know. But anyway, that was just my food for thought. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
And what I would say to add on to what Karina said is, if the thought of creating those systems to train your team absolutely like terrifies you, baffles you, exhausts you because you're not a systems kind of person, here's what I would do. I would train the person, and I would ask them that while you train them to do whatever it is, that they capture it, that they take notes, and they either type it up or they handwrite it or whatever, and they capture it. And then they, all that I would ask is that they give me a copy of the notes or what it is that they typed up. So you're doing the training. They're capturing it. They get to keep a copy for themselves so they don't have to remember everything, and they can always refer back to these instructions. You take the instructions with you, and that becomes the beginning of your system or your procedure manual or whatever it is. So anytime I've ever trained an assistant in our business, I get a notebook out. She takes notes. I have her type them up, and then I look them over and tweak and refine, and boom, our procedure for whatever it is I just taught her is done. So it's not even you sitting down and trying to think, how do I recreate how I do a facial, or how do I, you know, set up my inventory. It's having somebody watch you while you train them, and then they capture the information. It works really well. Okay, well, we've had a great Q&A call. Maybe we don't need Chris around. I'm just kidding. So does anybody else have any questions? I think it's been a fabulous Q&A call. I just want to acknowledge all of you who are on the call and anyone that listens to the recording, and just say that it's pretty remarkable this far into a program that you're all still showing up. And I mean that because we have over 60 people that were registered for this program. And in the beginning, we get 40, 50 people on a call. Then it dwindles down to 30, 35. And by the end, there's maybe 20 hanging on. And you'll notice on Q&A calls, sometimes it's only maybe 5 or 6 people jumping on the line. But you've hung in there. It's a 6-month program, and we're in our 5th month. And that is a small percentage of people that have that kind of dedication. So I want you to really acknowledge yourself for seeing this through, because so many people start it and don't finish it. And what we always say about this program, we say it about anything, how you do anything is how you do everything. And we always tell people, how you do this program is how you're going to do your business and how you're going to do your life. And when you see it through like this with this kind of commitment and dedication, you all have what it takes to do this business. And you bring that kind of commitment to your business, and there's no stopping you. So Chris and I have just been talking about how impressed we are with these, these women that just keep coming to the calls and then email us for support and help along the way. And, you know, you're either listening to the recordings or you're getting on the live calls. We're inspired by you. So congratulations on that. Happy New Year to all of you. And if there's no more questions, I'm going to sign off for tonight, but I just wanted to let you know that we're all proud of you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, I think that might be it. If you ever have any questions, though, you know you can reach us by email. Send the email to info@insightspps.com. And also, if you have any coaching sessions left that you haven't used through the program, there's always a link in the email to set up a coaching session. And as long as the coaching sessions are used by the time the program wraps up, we're, you know, here for you and happy to talk to you. So everyone have a great night, and look forward to being with you in a couple weeks.